Welcome to Ask the Expert North Texas here on News Radio 1080 KRLD. I'm David Rankin with Eric Bushman. It's a murder trial that's captured the attention of the entire country, if not the entire world, and it is right here in our backyard. Carmelo Anthony on trial for a murder at a track meet in Frisco. DA says he stabbed Austin Metcalf to death. On today's Ask the Expert, we're joined by our criminal expert, Dr. Alex Del Carmen. He's a criminologist at Del Carmen Consulting. Doc, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
What is it about this case that has fascinated everybody?
First of all, I think that a lot of people can relate to the idea of having their kids, you know, be at a sport event locally. And then all of a sudden, you know, what seemed to be a very normal day with rain coming down and, you know, everybody getting along just fine. All of a sudden, you've got a murder. And someone that brought a knife to the equation. And unfortunately, somebody's life changed permanently at that point.
You know, prosecutors showed news footage from that day. You brought up the rain. You know, they wanted the jury to know that, you know, it was raining that day. Everything started normal. Then all of a sudden, their expert witness points out from this news footage that something has occurred, something has changed. How do prosecutors kind of go through the day-to-day events so they can demonstrate to the jury the facts as the investigators understand them?
Well, what the prosecutor is going to do is try to make the case that this was not an individual that simply showed up with a knife at a school event, simply getting along with everyone and wanted to go home, you know, the same way that he came in. That essentially this person came armed, had a predisposition to commit some sort of a crime, and then found that based on what seemed to be just a regular conflict that would take place among high school kids, turned out to be a lethal event. And so they're going to try to make the case that the fact that the knife was present at the scene showed the type of individual that Mr. Anthony was or is.
There's so much talk just in the last couple of days about the fact of the jury makeup and how long it took to find a jury and how the attorney said, we're going to sift through these 600 people and get down to a jury of 12 and 6. So much kinds of conversation just about that and who the makeup of the jury itself.
Absolutely, David. And I think that, you know, based on previous studies that we've done for the past 20, 25 years, you know, and there's a general wide belief among lawyers that the makeup of the jury gives the best chances to either side. And so they're going to be spending a lot of time with people that study the behavior of a potential juror. Being able to figure out certain socioeconomic patterns, racial patterns, as it relates to the likely outcome based on what the prosecutor is looking for versus what the defense attorneys are looking for. So, you know, there are theories out there. If you're a middle-aged person, you're Caucasian, you come from a certain background, you're more likely to be punitive than somebody that is not from such a background. And so I'm sure that those theories were being tested, but we will not know if they work or not until the very end of the trial.
Now, we did kind of get a glimpse of where the defense is going with this during their opening statement. Mike Howard, one of the two attorneys, referred to Carmelo Anthony as Mello, so we learned a nickname, how his family calls him. He talks about Mello was a son, a brother, and so on. How important is the defense strategy to relate to the jury, you know, about their client so they can relate to him as much as possible?
Absolutely. And so you want to say his name. You want to make sure you throw out there what nicknames he had. You want to talk about what things he likes to do in his off time, the type of GPA that he had, which I heard that, you know, that was brought up as well. And so the idea is to try to humanize, right, Mr. Anthony, to try to make him be like a real person, that is a guy that is just like an average person in our community that would never do anything or cause any harm to anyone. This is a good kid that happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and felt that he needed to defend himself, and therefore he engaged in this particular act of violence.
One thing about this particular case, when it first happened and the police first made the arrest, was the fact that social media and GoFundMe pages are set up and people donated upwards of $600,000 to Mr. Anthony.
Yeah, David, I think that we live in times that are very interesting. You know, we've seen in other trials around the country that you know people have proposed marriage to individuals that are being suspected of killing others. And you know, quite honestly, that's not a new phenomenon. But what is new is, in fact, these GoFundMe accounts where people are putting their money where their mouth is. And in addition to that, I think that there is a, sadly, for our country, we are divided politically. We are divided along many other lines. And these types of events, what they do is they lead people to be polarized, you know, make it into a white versus black issue or a black versus white issue, a Christian versus a non-Christian issue in some other instances. And it's really sad because I think what that does is it makes us kind of see things through a different lens, and not based on reality or based on facts, but based on political ideology.
Do you think it's possible the decision by the judge to ban cameras could backfire?
You know, I think the only way that it could backfire is if people begin to raise the issue of the First Amendment, right? The ability of having access to these trials, being able to show the audience what it is that's being presented in court. Look, everybody was glued to the TV when O.J. Simpson's trial was going on, right? And we've seen other trials that have been carried out. And everybody makes up their mind as to what's going on in the trial at the time and whether or not the prosecutor screwed up or the defense attorney screwed up. So I think that there is a little bit less drama in that regard. There's also the risk that the public is going to have a perception that is not even close to reality as to what's actually happening inside that courtroom. But on the other hand, there's a safety protocol. And I think that the judge did what the judge had to do in order to be able to safeguard the lives of the individuals that not only attend the court, but also those that work in the court setting. And look, we already had someone get arrested recently that came in as an individual trying to promote the idea that this is a racial issue. And so we're going to see other actors try to do the same. And I think that there is that word of caution as it relates to safety that we always have to adhere to.
What's life like for the jury right now in having to start listening to this case and go through this and make this final decision?
It's a huge responsibility because even though you don't have the death penalty at stake, what you do have is up to 99 years of imprisonment, right? For a young person whose life is just starting. And then the victim whose life ended, right? So you have to sort of weigh both of those factors. And on the one hand, you've got the burden of responsibility of saying, you know, beyond a reasonable proof, you know, what in fact happened here? Was this person really guilty of killing someone intentionally and understanding fully well what he was doing with this knife? And then, you know, what was taken away from this family, regardless of what happens to Mr. Anthony, whether he is, in fact, found not guilty or perhaps he's found guilty and given the most severe sentence. Regardless of that, the young man that died as a result of this will never come back, and that family will forever be affected by it. And I think that people are sensitive to that, and the jurors carry that huge responsibility that in the end, they're going to be criticized by one side or the other.
Anytime you have a high-profile case that's getting national, and in this case, I believe, international attention, what does it do long-term effects to that community long after the trial is over?
Well, so everyone, first of all, everyone that watched the incident, right, is scarred for life. You also have the school now. You have school officials. You have people that are responsible for securing the premises. You've got the local police department involved. I mean, it leaves a lot of scar tissue for years to come. And it leaves a trauma to that community. People move out of those neighborhoods as a result of it. And we don't know what we don't know about what the aftermath of the verdict is going to bring, right? We have no idea if this is going to be done in the midst of the World Cup taking place in the Metroplex, or if this is going to take place at the same time we got other world events going on. And what is it going to do to community resources? What is it going to do to pose safety issues, to these worldwide events that are taking place in the Metroplex? So I think it really is although fascinating, it is also a tormenting moment for people whose lives are to secure the lives of other people.
Dr. Alex Del Carmen, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.